up. Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5.
This is potentially a bad moment in one of the most romantic points in your relationship, your wedding. I'm just surprised that it doesn't go worse. Anyone listening ever go to a wedding where, you know, when the officiant or the priest, pastor says, does anyone object to this union? If so, speak now or forever hold your peace. That is a very, very risky moment of the ceremony, because potentially anyone could just raise their hand and be like, I object. And there it is. Your $40,000, whatever, how many thousand dollars that you've invested in this party?
It's
blown.
Right, yeah.
Gone. Right. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. Have you ever been to a wedding where that's happened?
And I've been to a wedding where the bride was hesitant on continuing.
Ooh, that's weird.
So the bride was objecting, and I think she just got cold feet. But it's just kind of a murky thing. I don't know how that ended, but it was just that.
Yeah.
I think it still happened, but she not good. But it reminds me of The Graduate, which is a classic movie. And then, you know, the guy runs in. There's a bride and the groom right at the altar, okay, Jamar? And all of a sudden, Dustin Hoffman goes in and goes, no! And then the bride turns around and runs down the aisle, and they go off on a Greyhound bus.
Oh.
That's the only objection I've ever seen on film, but I've never been witness to one.
It reminds me of Love is Blind.
Yeah.
That's the show where people get together behind a screen or inside a pod, and then at the last part of the show, they have to get married, but they have to decide if love is blind, if they're going to stay married.
Oh, do you get kind of, is your stomach getting enough?
Oh my gosh, like the nausea is crazy. The anxiety is through the roof.
Yeah.
But like I said, this could potentially be a terrible moment for many weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And an article went viral recently, a bunch of people talking about what happened when someone actually stood up, raised their hand and said, I object. Never not dramatic, let's put it that way. Here's one story. A person said at the wedding, the bride's boss stood up and objected because he said he was in love with her.
Oh, he not only objected, he told people why.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was in love with the bride.
Oh.
Unfortunately, the bride was not in love with him.
Okay.
All hell broke loose.
Security.
Security. Yeah. Get this guy out of here. Another person said that at the wedding, the bridesmaid in the wedding and the best man objected because he and the groom were having an affair. Needless to say, that marriage did not take place.
Whoa.
Yeah, but the party actually happened.
They
let the after party go on.
Mm-hmm.
But do tell us, have you ever been to a wedding where someone actually objected? I didn't go to a wedding that I actually objected to the couple. I'll say that again. I didn't go to the wedding, but I did object to the couple. Had I gone to the wedding, would I have stood up? Yeah. No.
Hey, let me tell you, when you hear whispering in the pews, right?
Yeah.
The wedding, and here comes the music, the big, you know, march down the aisle.
Yeah.
And you hear people going like this, they're like, I don't think this one's going to make it.
Yeah.
But no one's gone up and that I've witnessed to say no, but I hear you.
Well, I will tell you that that marriage that I objected to.
You were right.
100% right.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't work.
We usually are, aren't we?
You could see it coming a mile away sometimes.
Yeah.
But let us know. Ever stand up and say, I object. And let us know. Did they throw you up by your head or by your legs?
Turn up. Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5.
Dan Riskin, CTV News' science and technology specialist. Also, our friend.
Our friend. Hey, I know a specialist.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's more important, a specialist or a friend, really?
Well, you're a special friend. How's that?
Oh, I like that a lot. That sounds good.
Yeah, a friend is a specialist, it's a good thing.
You really do such a great work, and, you know, there's so many things that we can talk about, but let's kick it off with this one. Is ChatGPT truly intelligent, or does it just seem like it's intelligent?
If you've played with it, it sure does seem intelligent, but there was a research paper that just came out where they basically gave it a bunch of cognitive psychology tests.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found is that in a lot of ways it acts like it's intelligent, but really there's something missing under the hood. What it does is look for the next word that should come in a sentence.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have a model in its head of what it's saying. And so there are certain kinds of tests where it fails miserably, and the researchers are saying, look, We can't think of this as a smart thing we've created. We really have to think of it as a tool and not get too carried away.
I think ChatGPT has really nailed down language. Like, it speaks really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when it puts the sentences together, they are formed correctly, but they're not quite, just like you said, they're not quite intelligently formed, right?
Yeah, and the big difference, say the psychologist, is that when you learn about the world, you have questions that you come up with ways to answer. So you're curious about something, and you go and you do a little digging, and then you figure out an answer yourself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do that. It has just been a sponge that soaked up all these things that have been fed to it. It doesn't know how to ask its own questions, and that fundamentally is the big difference between human intelligence and artificial intelligence at this stage.
Okay,
Months it'll be different.
Well, somehow I'm a little bit comforted by that. Okay, just a little bit. Hey, Lindsay Lohan and dolphins. I never would have put these two worlds together, but there is a connection.
I love this paper. So, you know this thing called vocal fry that people get so worked up about that Lindsay Lohan does, Paris Hilton does?
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. So it turns out that when dolphins and porpoises echolocate underwater, they use vocal fry. And the way you define it is the frequency with which the membranes are vibrating inside the body to make noise. So when you make sound, you can just go, or you can do falsetto, which is, which is like tighter and is at a higher frequency, but vocal fry is at the lower frequency where you let them vibrate slower, like and that is what dolphins do when they echolocate. So it turns out that Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, and harbor porpoises are birds of a feather. They're
How
all
about
doing
that?
The same thing. I'd like to see Lindsay Lohan catch fish, but we'll see what happens.
The Kardashians.
We should talk about this with Scott.
What is that bright light coming our way, Dan Riskin?
Oh, there is a comet on its way. Researchers are super psyched. They're saying we just caught a glimpse of it just last month, but come September of 2024, there could be a comet in our sky that is as bright as Venus or even brighter. And so, we just caught a glimpse of it. It's hard to predict exactly, but, it's good for people to just have this on their radar that come the second half of next year, we may have this big, bright comet in the sky. It's a gift from the heavens. And I'm really looking forward to it.
I bet you are. Yeah.
It's a nerd moment.
I like the nerd moments. Well, you're a favorite nerd. CTV News science and technology specialist and friend of the show, Dan Riskin. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a great one.
You too.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
To the travelers, this is a TikTok hack alert, meaning a TikToker is exposing what they call a hack that you can use. This one is for what he calls poor man's first class on a flight. A way to get the entire row to yourself when you're flying.
How do you do it?
Take a listen to this and let's dissect this person's methods on trying to get the entire row yourself.
Why do you have an entire row of seats just to yourself? Oh, this is called a poor man's first class.
A what?
Well, I bought one ticket for myself, and then I bought two fully refundable tickets on this row.
That sounds expensive.
No, because 45 minutes before boarding my flight, I cancel my two fully refundable tickets and get 100% of my money back.
But won't the airline just fill these seats then?
90% of the time they don't, meaning I get this whole row to myself. And all you paid was one normal ticket. What's the catch?
There's no catch. Just make sure the two additional tickets are fully refundable.
Oh. So you buy three seats, and then when you're there, you cancel two.
Yeah. There's a couple questions I have. I mean, it sounds like a really good idea. Do airlines let one person buy multiple seats? Like, a lot of times, you got to have a name and a passport and identification attached to a seat.
I'm going to say yes, because a friend of mine is flying to New Zealand. She can't afford business or first class.
Right.
So she bought three seats.
Okay.
In her name.
Okay.
And she calls it the comfort seat.
Okay.
The comfort bench, so she can relax.
Okay, well, that's the first question I had. Great. The next question I had was, once you return those seats, a lot of airlines just, they put on the standbys, they put on the people that are, employees that are flying, flight attendants from other flights.
Right.
Buddy passes, things like that. This person said 90% of the time they just kind of let them go. I find that hard to believe that the percentage is that high, because I know these flights are like
jammed.
Crowded these
they
days,
are.
Right? So
I never see an empty seat ever.
Yeah.
So.
And non-refundable tickets. I guess you have to pay the higher price to get the non-refundable fee.
You do.
but can you refund them right before the flight? Let's see if it happens.
What did he say? 45 minutes before the flight?
He said 45 minutes before the flight, you return the ticket. So,
be able to absorb the cost, just in case you can't. And then you'll have a
plan for the worst.
Bench seat.
Right.
Yeah.
Plan for the worst.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the, I used to call the exit row poor man's first class, but, you know, this is the other poor man's first class. Anybody want to try it? Let us know how it works.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5.
If I ask everybody if we think we as a collective are getting smarter or dumber, what would your answer to that question be? Let me not bury the lead.
Oh.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, dumb. We're definitely getting dumber.
Yeah. There is a study out of the U.S., a bunch of psychologists from Oregon, University of Oregon and Northwestern in Chicago. And they have been studying IQ in mostly the United States. I'm not sure if all of North America, Mexico, and Canada go into this study. But what they're seeing is that the IQs are usually go up in what they call the Flynn effect. Every year, year after year, IQs go up. They're seeing for the first time in a couple decades that the IQs are now dropping. We are not getting smarter year over year. I mean, we get more information year over year as a society.
But we're not getting smarter.
But we're not getting smarter for the first time in a long time.
So math skills are down.
Math skills
are down.
We
know that from this room. All of us included.
Yeah, math skills. They definitely, if they asked me, I brought down the curve.
I brought down the curve too many years ago. And then there's a thing called, guys, verbal reasoning, and that's understanding and reasoning using concepts framed in words. Use your words, right?
Well, I mean.
And so that's a problem too for some people, yeah.
Some people are not using words anymore. I mean, some people are just using emojis.
Exactly.
And some people are using cutoff words and, you know, vocabulary words. Large words are not really so much of a, you know, you're not impressed these days when you see someone using big words. Other things are impressing people these days.
So what is the culprit? There's more than one thing. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to say?
Social media.
Oh, I was about to say Jersey Shore, but that too.
That too.
Yeah. Social media.
One of the other things they say is diet. Totally agree with that.
Yeah, they say diet.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if at an early age you're not getting the right nutrition, it could, you know, definitely mess up brain development.
Right.
But they're also saying pollution probably might be the culprit too.
Yeah.
Apparently, environmental pollutants and maybe things that we're exposed to could be messing up our development over time and also hampering our ability to retain information.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's not just outdoor pollution, it's indoor pollution. We were talking about this the other day on the show, talking about how sealed windows are.
Yeah.
And how everyone's using scents and how there's off-gassing from new carpet that you get or the, you know, what it's all that. It's all that stuff.
Mattresses,
everything,
clothing, everything.
Processed stuff, processed food, processed furniture, processed everything. So what to do about that, I guess, is to pay attention. Those little kids from 0 to 5, they're like little sponges. It's up to us to really parent. I think that you have to bring up your parenting game. For sure.
Yeah, and they also said that the steepest declines in the study were in the youngest people.
Yeah.
So it starts from pretty early. So
something
to think about. I don't know. I would have said just social media, but I would say overall consumption of like just digital content.
Yeah.
Like I think a lot of people are just too into the screens.
I think so too. We can't blame everything on that. You can't blame everything.
Well, that part they haven't quite drilled down on yet, but you can speculate.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5.
Text us to 104.536 if you're a parent and you've heard some slang your kids were using that completely confused you or might even infuriate you. You could text us to 104.536. And we actually asked on social media some people, you know, what slang words are your kids using?
Oh, the answers are great. I have one mom that said it's not so much slang, but my kids picked up saying this phrase from someone on YouTube, and they say it every time something upsets them, even jokingly.
Emotional damage.
So that is a clip of this guy saying emotional damage, and it's viral on TikTok. So anytime something inconveniences you or hurts your feelings,
Emotional damage.
So they use that TikTok audio?
No, they say it.
Okay.
Yeah, but that is the audio of it. Okay. And it drives this mom absolutely nuts.
Very wild. Very wild. Have you guys heard of the website Cafe Mom? Where like moms like put blogs and stuff like that. It's a pretty funny website. You should check it out if you're into that stuff. But they did a guide to kids slang. And the funny part to me is that they started by saying, remember when people were saying that's so rad?
Yeah.
Do you know what year rad is from? Like rad is like the 80s.
Yeah, I think so, right?
The rad is, you don't have to guess. Rad is 80s. Rad is like 80s skateboard culture. Like that is.
Okay.
Yeah, like, yo, totally rad. It's like very funny that that was their reference. But things change so quickly because the slang they're using right now is of the moment. Like you probably, do you know when someone says no cap, what that means?
That's no cap, right?
Right. So, they'll say no cap.
I wouldn't know that.
No cap means I'm not lying. Okay. Like, no cap. That's not a lie. That's for real. Like, that's like very right now.
Yeah,
like no cappuccino is what I
thought. No, not cappuccino.
It was not interesting to me.
So instead of them saying that, you may actually see them put the cap emoji.
Yes.
If they're commenting it.
If they put it's like that blue cap on.
The blue cap.
Yes.
So the cap by itself means you're lying.
Yeah. Like if someone says something like, yo, I just won the lottery. Cap. You didn't win the lottery. No cap. I actually won the lottery.
Okay.
What slang word drives you crazy? Text us at 104536.
Do you remember one from your past? Was it rad?
Gosh, rad was like little bit, like I was a kid when people were saying rad. I wasn't quite in the rad. But I was saying dope, like, yo, that's dope, that's dope, all the time. That one really has stood the test of time, I think. Yeah. I think people are still saying that.
Yeah.
Another one I was saying, oh, snap, like instead of, you know, the curse word, you say, oh, snap.
Oh, snap, like, okay.
Remember when everyone was doing, what's up?
What's up?
I could think of.
That was the Budweiser commercial. No. Was it waza?
What was it?
For my time, guys, when someone tried to trick somebody, it was psych.
Yeah.
So but like you said, you know, everything keeps moving forward, and there's some really interesting ones.
Okay, Azalea, this is one that you say all the time. You could explain it.
Okay.
Because I think this one is distinctively yours in the room.
Okay.
Not you out here trying to do the slang words.
I do that all the time. I don't know if I picked where I picked it up from. I think I picked it up from Love Island, to be honest.
So basically what you do before you really kind of blow something up, I'm using slang to
anything. Slang. Okay, so for example, Marilyn, you brought in your oatmeal this morning. I'm going to say, not you bringing in oatmeal.
Oh, I see. Rephrase it.
Exactly. Okay. So it's like,
okay,
I'm kind of trying to pat you on your back.
Yeah.
Right.
Not you bringing in your own oatmeal.
Okay.
Not me drinking my coffee this morning. You know, like.
All right.
Not you, producer Simone, trying to tell us that we're running out of time.
Not you.
Not you telling us we're running out of time.
I found one of my favorite ones. We'll have to talk about this one on this new one.
Okay.
I might use it.
Share with us at 104536 the slang that you hear your kids using. Yes. And we're going to tell you some more slang words that you might need to get up to par with.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. It'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
I'm very slangy. Like slang all the time. Most of the time. But when my nephew said this a couple months ago, I was kind of like wide-eyed. I'm like, wait a second. How you out slanging the slang guy? We're at, I think, dinner. And, you know, I asked him how some of the food he was eating was tasting. Like, yo, hey, Cameron, how's the food taste? And he just simply said, oh, it's bussin'. I was like, what? I was just like, wait, what'd you just say? At first, I thought he just said a bad word. I don't know what bad word I thought he said. I just didn't know how it was being used. That's bussin'. And he said it just like that, too, little kid. And I was like, oh. And I looked at his mom. I was like, what did he just say? He goes, it's the new word. So for those who don't know, bussin' is when something's really good. Often food, like the cookies, bussin'. That coffee you're drinking. How's it, Azalea?
Bussin'.
How's the breakfast this morning, Marilyn?
Wasn't very good.
Not bussin'.
Not bussin'.
Use the slang word. No. Okay, so just so you know, bussin', if you hear your kids say bussin',
yeah,
it's a really good thing.
So I'm looking at this list and I'm thinking to myself, you know, like one of the ones, somebody goes, oh, that's old. It's Gucci.
Gucci's old, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, for moms, you know, maybe not so new. That is new.
Yeah,
right?
it gets
into the kind of...
you got to roll into it.
And then we hear it, we go, what's that? What, Gucci?
Yeah, so basically, now that we're saying it, Gucci's done. We just ended it. But if you needed to know what it was, Gucci means good. So
now that we say it, now that it's done? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, because, you know, once it makes it to this level, like, it's done. The credibility's gone. once the Facebook group starts talking about
The
kids kick it to the curb.
I got you.
So, for example, like, if I asked you, how are you doing today? How's everything?
It's Gucci.
Everything's Gucci.
I said that song. It's Gucci.
Yeah, there it is. That's it.
Well, when you look at this list, though, how many from this latest thing, from this Cafe Mom?
Yep.
How many of, let's say, eight, did you find new? Bussin is one of them, like you mentioned.
Bussin is sort of
bra
newish.
Bra is nothing new.
Bra is an evolution of bro.
Yeah.
So now instead of saying bro, people saying bra.
Yeah.
I mean, don't be sus. S-U-S. Sus? I've been saying that forever. Sus as in...
suspicious.
Suspect.
Suspect. Oh,
so
okay.
So if something is giving you weird vibes, you'd be like, yo, that's sus.
It says don't be suspicious or weird.
Yeah,
I don't know, Jamar.
I don't even know if that's really the I think sus came from saying something suspect.
I got
so
you.
It's like, I don't know what he's... I don't know what that guy's doing over there. It's kind of sus to me. Something suspicious, suspect.
And this one that it's giving... It's giving and then blank whatever is a very popular one that people use online a lot. So if someone's wearing a turtleneck, you'd be like, it's giving, or they're wearing a cardigan, it's giving, what's the neighborhood guy?
Which name?
Mr. Rogers.
It's giving Mr. Rogers.
What's the neighborhood guy?
You know what I mean?
No, but I got you.
It's giving Mr. Rogers.
So when you see something, give me another one. So it's giving a cardigan, Mr. Rogers. Give me another one.
Okay,
tattoos. It's giving tattoos.
It's giving Post Malone.
That's
it. Or it's giving jail. It's giving jailbird. Yeah.
Okay. See.
And that, just to give you the evolution of that, the whole phrase used to be it's giving something vibes.
Okay.
They've taken off the vibes part, and now it's just it's giving. You know what I mean? Okay.
That's it.
That's that.
Some things are old. Some things are new. Now we know if it made it to Facebook, it has been thrown to the curb.
I bet. Bet.
Do you know what's really great?
Yep.
When you're an older person, hello, and you use some of these things on purpose and incorrectly, it really irritates kids, and that makes me happy.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. Shum 104.5.
Germaphobes won't like to hear this, but you'll have to hear it. Toilet bowls, probably the thing in your head that is the most dirtiest just because of what we do there. But it's not necessarily. Now, we've talked about a lot of different items, and they're often compared to toilet bowls when you're talking about germ content. We've talked about the dirtiest in the bathroom, which is the towel rack. Right, Marilyn? We've
talked
about
it. Next to the toilet.
Right.
Or if you put your toothbrush near the toilet.
Right. We've talked about the toothbrush caddy.
Yeah, never put that near the toilet. It needs to be on the other side, far away.
Right. I want to talk to you about something that you put on your mouth, in your mouth even, every day, that they say is 40 times more bacteria-ridden than the toilet seat.
And it's gross.
The reusable water bottle.
Yeah.
Your water bottle that you carry to work with you every day that, you know, you're trying to stay hydrated, maybe the one you take to the gym with you every day. They say that is full of bacteria. Like, bad. And fortunately, some of the bacteria is not really going to make you sick, obviously, because you're not getting sick every day from it. But they say over time, the bacteria that accumulates on the water bottle is contributing to this new resistant to antibiotic bacteria strains, that the ones that they're starting to sound the alarm over.
A petri dish.
They say that the reusable water bottle contains twice as many germs than your kitchen sink, four times as many germs than a computer mouse, 14 more germ types than a pet water bowl. Like, the human mouth is disgusting.
Good morning.
Yep.
Good morning.
So,
So having said all of that,
yes.
I had an experience which I'd like to share with you many years ago.
Okay. Well,
when you go to a juice bar
uh-huh.
and you order a juice, you know, and it comes in a glass bottle,
uh-huh.
you know, you should really pour it into another cup because how clean
yeah.
or do they or yeah. do you see them sterilize those bottles?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I got a thing that happened to me a couple of years ago, and it was from that.
Medical thing.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of this thing. So, I mean, we are very desensitized now that we're out of, you know, lockdown.
Right.
But this is a big deal. You know what else is really dirty?
Yeah.
Is the inside of a purse.
I've read about that.
It's really dirty.
It literally never gets washed or cleaned or anything, right?
That's why, you know, my little backpack that I have, I wash it at least every 2 weeks.
That's
because
good.
I just know what's in there. And your phone, Jamar.
Yeah, the phone is another notorious. They say they swab the phones and it's just full of stuff.
So I know we're trying to save the planet with the water bottles, but let's save human beings.
Well,
you really have to clean it. You have to sterilize it.
Here's the other thing. Yeah, you have to sterilize it. Wash it often with soap
and water
and make sure that it dries properly.
Right.
Leave it moist and it's just sitting there. You know, where there's water, there's life.
Come on in. Come on in.
Yeah.
All right.
Wash it, dry it, use soap, let it dry. And
that was a public service announcement from Chum Radio.
Take your vitamins, too.
Yeah, take your vitamins, too.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5.
Stars of the new show, Sullivan's Crossing on CTV. We have Morgan, welcome to the show, Morgan.
Thank you so much.
And we have Chad, the Chad.
It's been a minute since I heard that.
Have you had that? Have you heard that before?
Oh, yeah.
Morgan Cohen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Chad Michael Murray. Guys, we are the buzz in this building this morning for you guys coming to just talk to us about the show is unbelievable right now. People are really excited.
We're so excited. Yeah. To finally be able to be putting this out and talk about the show.
Get close to the mic because I want to hear every word. Don't talk about word. So let's talk about Sullivan's Crossing. What is this all about? Well, first of all, you had to leave Boston. Something happened.
Yes.
And you went back to your father?
Yeah, so my perfectly built life in Boston blows up in my face, basically, as it does. And I have to... I'm forced to head back to the small campground I grew up on that my estranged father runs. So we have.
And this was shot in Nova Scotia, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. Around Halifax.
Beautiful.
I mean, this is almost like a little mini vacation too. You get to like kind of decompress and, you know, be in a beautiful place for a while.
Well, I think that's the idea.
That is the idea. That
and then the stranger.
Whoa.
That'd be you.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
What kind of a stranger are you? Are you off-putting? Are you, like, what kind of a guy are you?
You make you uncomfortably comfortable.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Uncomfortably comfortable. That's a good approach.
No, he's just another man healing.
Another man healing.
You know, trying to find his way in beautiful Halifax.
Yeah. Okay, now, speaking of campgrounds, either one of you a camper? Just throwing it out there.
Oh, yeah.
You are?
Big time.
Oh, wow. Is it one of those things where you go out and you're alone in the forest and... have some time to think and to calibrate, or pitch a tent?
100%. That's actually, I believe, the reason my wife and I are married. don't go there. But on one of our early courting, probably in the first few months of courting, I did a little trick that I know, which is you take stones, you put them in the campfire, let them get big, red hot. And then dig some holes in the beach sand, which is where we were, and you put them under the earth, lay a ferny pad on top of all the sand, and it stays warm all night long, and you can just stare up at the stuff.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Just in case you get caught anywhere in the cold, you know how to get warm.
Boom.
Wow. It sounds like a movie.
There you go.
There you did.
Your mouth to God's ears. Let's do it.
So Sullivan's Crossing takes us through this whole journey of reestablishing relationships, going back home, meeting somebody new. What else do you want to tell us about it without, you know,
giving too much away?
Yeah.
You know, I think the show's going to surprise a bunch of people. We've kind of got a little bit of everything in it. We have the rekindling of relationships and diving into past traumas and healing, but we also have a little bit of action. We've got a little bit of a medical drama in there. Oh, okay. We've kind of got a bit of everything.
Okay, and this is the based on the person that put together Virgin River, is that right?
Yep. So it's the same author.
Same author. Okay.
Virgin River has done
which has done
process.
Really well.
Sure has.
Right, yeah. So that's cool. That's awesome. So what did you love about Nova Scotia?
It's stunning.
I know. And people couldn't be more friendly.
You're from the other side of the world, though. You're from BC?
I'm from the West Coast.
Yeah, you're from the West Coast.
I know, and it stole my heart. I always thought I was like a West Coast girly.
Well, you hear West Coast people always rave about how beautiful it is over there. So now you've got rave reviews about the East Coast.
Absolutely. And it's also the people. It's kind of like the perfect Halifax is a perfect mesh of like a city with like beautiful restaurants, bars, but the people feel like a small town community. Lovely.
It's very true.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5.
The old saying used to be, you better eat your vegetables. But the saying actually needs to be changed to, you better wash your vegetables.
Yes,
Dirty vegetables is something that people are talking about. The fact that we're now realizing that so many of the veggies that we eat for salads, that we cook with, we're actually not washing them well.
Right.
And it could cause some harm for you in the health front.
So every year they come up with the Dirty Dozen, and there's an environmental working group that publishes it.
Yeah.
And about fruits and vegetables. We're talking about pesticides. And so the ones that are the ones you have to be careful of, you should wash all vegetables, even if they have a thick skin to it. Do you want to list some of them? Do you want to list the most pesticides
on them. Green beans, blueberries, cherries, bell and hot peppers. Now, let me tell you what this is all about. When I look at this list, not even being a scientist, these are the ones that are the hardest to wash. Like, all of these are when you think about your green beans, they're small, they're a little bit fuzzy, you know what I mean? Yeah. So washing them, you don't get a good wash on them. Blueberries.
Also, thin skin.
Yeah, well, how are you going to wash blueberries?
Yeah.
There's just so many of them.
Well, I wash them. I rinse them and rinse them and rinse them and rinse them.
That's a rinse.
Yeah. But and I know there's vegetable washes that you can use, but you know we're always afraid of using soap because we don't want our blueberries to taste funny.
Right.
Nectarines, that surprises me with nectarines because that to me has a thicker kind of skin on it.
But once again, it's that fuzzy skin that holds things. It's probably holding all types of stuff on there.
The worst top two are strawberries and spinach.
Guess why?
Spinach
is so leafy. Like, how do you wash a spinach? It's like... It's everywhere.
Individually. Like you do with your ficus plant. Right?
It takes a lot of time.
So the full list of fruits and veggies with the least amount, and some of this is surprising, number one, is the avocado. Because that skin is really thick. You still should wash them. But, right?
Yeah. Like that's avocados are pretty easy to wash.
Sweet corn. Pineapple is impenetrable. Pineapple, you can't even, like, it takes, you know,
pineapple's
an
bulletproof.
Army to open that up. Yeah. What else do you have?
Onions. Mm-hmm. You know, and the trend here is all these are the fruits and veggies that have to be peeled before you eat them.
Yeah.
So whatever's on them is on the outside.
Right.
Sweet peas, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
And then down bottom, you got sweet potatoes and watermelon.
Yeah. And here's the other one thing I want to say to you is mushrooms. Mushrooms, as soon as you put water on them, they expand. So you just really rinse them off and then put them in the frying pan, and there you have it. Anyway, the point is, be careful with you bring fruits and vegetables home because there's stuff on them. And it's interesting saying, well, it's organic. Well, you know, next to the organic farm, there's a farm that uses pesticides. You think it just kind of locates itself right on that?
Right, so it just blows over.
So across the board, wash your fruits and vegetables and make sure you eat them too.
And we forgot to give a mention to the toughest and the dirtiest of them all.
What?
The strawberry.
Oh, yeah. Those little tiny, teeny, tiny places that hold a lot of stuff.
Yeah, those strawberries are like...
I'm not a fan of strawberries. I wish I was.
They're like... I love the way they taste, but they're like sponges.
Here's the other option. You know, to get frozen fruits and vegetables, they are cleaned and flashed fresh, so they're good.
Good idea.
They do it for you.
Make for good smoothies.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5.
Listen to what happened in Spain, and I think this sets a very interesting international precedent. We'll see if it comes over this side.
Okay.
A woman is ordered from her ex-husband to be paid $215,000 for 25 years of housework that she did in that marriage.
So you owe me.
You owe me all this money for just the housework. So at some point she decided she wanted to divorce the guy.
Yeah.
And when in the divorce settlement or in the court proceeding, she said that she was forced by this man to not get a job, to not pursue her own career goals and life aspirations, and she and her daughter were forced to stay home and tend to the home. And then they decided to numerate how much is this worth.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, $215,000. So she'll be getting a monthly payment of $528 from the ex-husband. Interesting precedent. I mean, there's been a lot of talk, you know, with people saying, hey, listen, housework, being a housewife or house husband, if you want to call that, that has a price. And we should honor that price. It's actual work.
It's work.
This actually supports that.
It's constant work, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So rather than, I mean, we're talking about the splitting of the house.
Yeah.
Splitting of the, you know, assets like a car, you get this car, whatever. Now we're talking about, yeah, but the work that I put into this marriage, even though it didn't work out well, you prevented me from working. I mean, or you prevented yourself from working. But in this case, the 16-year-old and the mother.
And there's also another daughter, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's another daughter who's 14 who is getting paid $638 a month because she's saying the similar thing. This husband didn't let them do anything.
Yeah.
For 25 years. Obviously more for the mother who's more than 25.
So that might be incorporated, as you're saying, into some legal action. So if you're thinking about divorcing your better half, you might want to look into that.
I think lawyers will be looking at that case and seeing if it could be applied.
Time spent driving the kids to the school, making sure the house is great, cooking the meals. It could go man or woman. Doesn't matter.
And, you know, there's also an argument for some sort of abuse because, I mean, like, you can't I just don't understand how people try to force their will on people like that, especially like, no, do not work. If someone has some, especially your partner, they want to do something and live their life, you should support that.
Yeah. Back in the day, they would say to their sons and daughters, especially their daughters, you are no longer going to high school anymore.
Like,
my mom stopped
wild.
At 14 because my grandfather said, we need money. You need to go work.
Wow.
So that's what she did.
Very different time.
Very different time.
Very different time.
Turn up Marilyn Dennis and Jamar podcast. They'll get you feeling good. From 104.5.
Ladies, do you remember the movie Mean Girls? Right?
Yeah.
Mean Girls, of course, the classic.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look back at high school and you think about those mean girls in your high school and you're like, how did they even have friends? Like, if you're so mean, how do people like you?
Mm.
And that actually followed from high school into college and university. And even in the workplace, it's like, how do these mean people keep friendships? There is a scientific reason that they've now drilled down and said, this is why. When we try to make same-sex friends, this counts for women and this counts for men. One of the things that we are subconsciously attracted to is people who are vicious.
Huh?
And you'll never believe why.
Why?
People who are vicious or exhibit meaner qualities can protect us.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're the bouncer in the hallway.
They're the bouncer. They're the pit bull.
Her name was Patty Page.
Yeah, think about the mean girl, Patty Page, in your group. Think about the mean dude, Rocco Mazzio. That guy was
Mazzio.
He was a mess.
Yeah.
Why was he even in our group?
But he liked you.
Yeah.
So he protected you.
He was the mean guy.
Yeah.
And this is why we have these guys in our group, because we need somebody when we're talking about our horrible boss. They're the ones that are going to let off all the swear words on the phone conversation. Be like, you need to tell them blah, 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 blah. And you're like, yeah, you're right, right?
it's like a protector. Now I'm thinking of another guy's name.
Yeah.
His name was Shirus. Shirus.
Yeah.
They called him Shiggy Holmes.
He sounds terrible.
And I'll tell you the story. He was about this tall, really short. And when our moms were young mothers, we used to play with each other in the playpen. And then he moved away. And then he came back and he goes, you know what? And he really went to a tough school. Came back and goes, I'm back. And if anybody causes you any trouble, you tell them to talk to me. And this guy has no clout. I mean, he's petite. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He made his name known in that school. So all the tall guys were behind him, and he was like, and I'm telling you, no one messed with me or him.
This sounds like those schools
on
TV.
Yeah, right. So I mean, it's
leather jackets.
Yeah.
Bobby socks.
And they smoked.
Oh, my gosh. Did they roll them up in their sleeve?
Oh, I think he did a lot of those kind of things. But anyway, having said that, they are protectors.
Yeah, and you know what? When you tell these people, the mean girls, the mean guys in your group, things that are going wrong in your life, they get angrier than you do.
Yeah.
And it actually makes you feel like someone's got your back.
They take it on themselves. Yeah. So, all right.
That's the science behind that. Mean people are, they're in demand.
I thought it was going to be because they're not nice to anybody else. And then if you get them to be finally nice to you, you kind of accomplish something.
That's probably part of it, too. Everybody needs a little bottle of poison, right? Yeah. So that's what they are.
But when they offer their services, you're going, I'm not turning that down.
Right.
I like that. All right.
But you better give them a slice of pizza a week so they can continue to be your friend. Well, there it is. Think about that mean girl or mean guy in your life, and that's why they're there.
Turn up Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. They'll get you feeling good. Chum 104.5. It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar's watch list.
Hey, we're watching.
I'm watching you.
Chum 104.5.
A lot of good television. I mean, it's a great time for television. True Lies. Guys, the show is actually really, really good. It's the show that was actually adapted from the movie from back in the day. It is action-packed, and it's funny. So definitely keep an eye on that one. True Lies, which features Steve Howey from Shameless. That's one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
And Ginger Gonzaga, who we met at the Upfronts.
Oh, yes.
He's here for that.
There you go.
Yeah. Another show that is really occupying a lot of space in my brain, Your Honor.
Yeah.
This is on Showtime. You can get it through Crave. Lord.
Second season.
Yeah. If you want to talk about a show that everyone that's been cast in the show is perfect.
Bryan Cranston's
incredible.
Yeah.
Forget the name of the rest of the actors, but they are just such a great crew of people that are superb actors on a television show. It's like unbelievable. So the end of the season is coming, right? This weekend?
I think this is the final episode that's going to drop tonight at 9 o'clock.
Now, listen, Marilyn, if you want to talk about a show that gives you the ultimate of anxiety.
Does it have pretty interiors and some fashion and food?
Yeah, okay, a little bit.
The Last of Us doesn't do that.
If you like jail cells, I mean,
<You think so?
laughs> the interior of a jail cell is pretty.
I had to look at Simone Hales watching the same show.
We don't get to see New Orleans that often.
You know what a friend of mine said to me the other day? You don't like shows that are disorganized.
Okay.
So there's no end result. It doesn't seem. But Your Honor, I love Bragg.
Bryan Cranston, great show. So that's those are my watch list shows right there. You gotta check out True Lies and Your Honor.
Okay, very good. So I basketball, NCAA.
Yeah.
It's happening right now, March Madness. But I want to see what the Canadian contingent is about this. And for the first time in history, a Canadian is the favorite to win the Naismith College Player of the Year Award. That goes to Toronto's Zach Edey, who plays for Purdue.
Wow.
And his name's up there. There are many other Canadians that are in there that will probably end up after this year going to the NBA. But so when you're watching March Madness on TSN, know that. Zach, how tall is Zach? 7-something.
7'4"?
7'4". Yeah. You're right, Simone.
Oh, my goodness.
7'4". But he is one to watch. And, of course, already some teams have been knocked out of the playoffs. So there was a treat this morning with the brackets and somebody throwing up the brackets because some teams just didn't make it that they thought were going to make it. So it's already getting interesting. But there you go.
Okay.
Don't forget about March Madness because, it's here.
It's time.
Yeah.
Azalea, what's on your watch list?
So I've mentioned this a few times before. The Godfather of Harlem featuring Forest Whitaker.
Yep.
So this weekend, they're actually showing the final two episodes and it is getting intense.
Oh.
Like every single episode of this show is amazing. And so I know these last two are going to be crazy. You could probably watch this on Apple TV. And I'm a little bit late because I should have watched this maybe before the Oscars, but I started watching Everything Everywhere All at
Once. Okay.
Finally started watching it. I've made it to the hot dog finger scene. And
out of context, that whole hot dog finger thing probably looks very crazy, everybody, right?
Yes.
If you haven't seen the movie yet.
Right. I mean, it looks very crazy when you're watching the movie as well.
Sure.
Right.
So I'm just still getting into it. It's funny. It's very enjoyable to watch. There are some times where you're like, what is this? Like, who thought about this? But it's very interesting the way that they put this together. Whoever wrote this, very smart guy.
Yeah.
Or girl.
Very.
Like, they've never seen anything like this.
Like, how did you think of this?
I know.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. And that is why everyone is, like, all over the show. That's why it swept.
That's
for sure.
So yeah. Different than anything else that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm going to watch that either, but thank you. Thank you, guys.
No hot dog fingers for
basketball.
You. Okay. Great. Okay. Hey, that's what's on our watch list. So if you're watching anything that you think is really interesting and that you'd like to tell everybody, you can text us at 104536. We'll spread the word.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. Chum 104.5. Podcast.